Welcome to Raising the Flipping Bar, the go-to podcast for aspiring and seasoned real estate investors. I'm your host, Derek Marlin, and I'm the CEO of Elevation. We're a real estate investment company based right here in Denver, Colorado. We'll dive into smart investment strategies, market insights, and essential tips for scaling your real estate ventures. Whether you're making your first investment or your 100th investment, this podcast is your blueprint for success in the ever-evolving world of real estate investing. Get ready to elevate your real estate game and begin your journey with me. Welcome back to another episode of Raising the Flipping Bar. I'm your host, Derek Marlin, and I'm super excited for today's episode. Now that I hear myself say that, I say that every episode, but this time it's going to be awesome. The reason why is because it's going to combine really two of my main passions in life. One from my former life, which was professional sports, and obviously real estate investing today. So today's episode is about building a championship team, both in business. We're going to talk a lot about some different sports analogies. To me, where again, my mind goes from growing up in athletics is sports. I'm a byproduct and a child of the 90s. Between the 90s and 2000s, you think of Michael Jordan. That is a person who obviously won six different championships. And that was an amazing championship team where everybody had their own inner workings and different moving pieces and parts to create that championship team. I also think about UCLA basketball and Coach John Wooden that won more national championships than anybody in the history of college sports, especially in such a short time period. Including undefeated seasons. And we're going to tap into my love and affinity for the Denver Broncos. We're recording this in 2024, so we're still in a sad quarterback purgatory. Peace out, Russ. Thanks for mediocre play. Hopefully we get a better quarterback later. That's time for another episode. But we're going to talk about the late 90s, the John Elway and Terrell Davis years of back-to-back Super Bowls in 1997 and 1998. So to me, those are super important ways to talk about how do we build a championship team. And that team is also needed to win in business. So let's dive into today's episode. With that being said, I would love for you guys to engage and comment, whether it's you telling me that you think I'm crazy and there's better championship teams around, but please do comment, DM us, let us know, be a part of the conversation, if you will. I started my professional overall career far away from real estate investing. I was able to get my MBA in sports management at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and I wanted to work in professional sports. I was blessed enough to get a job with the Denver Broncos in 2002. And where my mind goes with this is I spent seven seasons with the team. That's kind of the way that you say it because you're so ingrained in what's going on from a sports perspective. From 2002 to 2008, I was with the Broncos. There's two people that obviously stood out to me as major leaders, and they built a championship organization and a championship team. The first one was Mr. Bolin. I was not close enough to him to call him Mr. B. That's what everybody who knew him and loved him called him. Rest in peace, Mr. Bolin. He obviously passed away and has since sold the Broncos off to the Walton Penner family. But what I loved really seeing with Mr. Bolin was his forward-thinking vision. And I remember this like it was yesterday, where the Broncos practice facility is at a part of town in Metro Denver called Dove Valley. It's in the South Metro part of Centennial. And there was this really cool deck that came out, and he, of course, had a badass office. He owns a professional sports franchise, but he would just sit out there and he would just stand with his hands crossed. He would just gaze out among all of the players and the coaches. And I just always remember that because he was thinking, and I use this term in a lot of our episodes, from a 30,000 foot view and perspective. One of the takeaways for me is we'll get into how do you build up that team? What does our current team look like today? But you got to have the vision with you being the leader on whatever level that you are. So Mr. Bolin would again stand in an elevated position, have his great office and his beautiful deck overlooking the Rockies and the Broncos practice facility, but he could keep his eyes on what was going on. But there is no way Mr. Bolin could know what was the offense doing? What was the defense doing? Trying to coach up special teams, he needed people in key roles. I think that is a huge takeaway. The other thing where I was able to engage with Mr. Bolin on more of a one-on-one level is I essentially did corporate sponsorships for the Broncos. So whenever you walked into a stadium and you saw Coca-Cola or you saw Budweiser or you saw Comcast, I sold all the signage, the advertisements, the use of the marks and the logos, coming up with creative ways to help businesses grow their business using the Denver Broncos assets. I was in the marketing department and my VP at the time of marketing, he said, "Hey, I want you to come with me on a meeting with Mr. B." I was super excited and I was also freaking out because I'm like, this is the owner of the damn damn team. I'm just some MBA who's 2 years into his career and trying to progress. Ironically, my end goal is to be a president of the Broncos, but it shows you that goals change. And I just want to now be president of my own organization. But we were in a meeting with Mr. B, and we were renegotiating a big deal with one of our largest corporate sponsors, Comcast. You're essentially trying to lock up that client for as long as you can, for as much money as you can, obviously providing as much value to the client so they make it an easy business decision for them. But we are really freaking out because at that point in the economy, it was 2003. We're only 2 years off 9/11. The Broncos won Super Bowls now 5 years ago. Brand new stadium. They've got bills to pay, and we're trying to get Comcast to the biggest sponsorship. Mr. Boland, again, just sits back in his chair, and he's got his arms crossed, and he's listening, and he's listening, and he was very intent. He let us talk, and again, we're trying to impress our boss. He's like, how much money are we talking about here? And we're like, it's about 500 grand per year. He goes, I'll keep this clean. Just get the effing deal done. And we both were like, okay, let's just get the deal done. I thought, wow, this is a lot of money. How does this not show up higher on his radar? Well, it's all about perspective. He gave us and empowered us to do our job to the best of our ability. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, he was the chairman of the NFL broadcast committee, and he is negotiating a multi-billion dollar television deal that's going to set up every single owner through essentially the rest of history to increase the value of all of the NFL franchises, because the TV entities are paying teams hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So he's focused on $100 million and billion-dollar problems, and we're worried about $500,000 problems. It's all about perspectives. He just wanted to get on with his day. He probably was happy we were hopefully doing our job. But building a championship team is all about trusting who you're working with. I think the other thing to me is then he entrusted Coach Mike Shanahan. So he built a championship team through having great leaders. I was really fortunate to have a little bit of experience and crossover with the football side of the operation and seeing Coach Shanahan from afar. He had to orchestrate and have the right team on the field from a player personnel standpoint. So you had to manage great talent, but also egos from the John Elways, the Terrell Davises, the Ed McCaffreys, the Neil Smiths of the world. But he had a coaching staff as well. So they called him the mastermind for a specific reason. And it's because obviously he was one of the smartest football minds out there. But what I really appreciated from Coach Shanahan was he put key people in the right positions, both from a coaching perspective and a player personnel's perspective, to win and to lead. The other thing that he did is he cultivated talent. We now know in 2024, I'm kind of a quasi-fan of the 49ers, being a diehard NFL fan, because his son, Kyle Shanahan, is now the head coach and has been for a number of years of the 49ers. The other cool thing is it's all about developing talent. Within your organization, you always have to be trying to bring in the best A players at any position that you've got and trying to develop them and give them as much runway for success as humanly possible. The cool thing about the NFL is they call it the NFL coaching tree. It's essentially people that have come up under your organization, and what are they doing now? Right now, Mike Shanahan has five NFL head coaches that are running organizations across the NFL. And there's only 32 of these jobs available in the entire world. I don't even know how many assistant coaches are again, under Coach Shanahan's tree, in addition to his son. These are people that are succeeding at a high level, and they're pretty, as an aside, and being a Broncos fan, damn Chiefs. The 49ers would have definitely won more Super Bowls. Again, another great organization. I'm a little jealous, as you can tell. But again, building that championship organization and having that championship mindset is getting the right people and really letting them run with their jobs. I want to transition a little bit from creating a championship organization on the sports side of things, and let's talk about how do we become champions in business. I was kind of going over my notes, and there were three different people and companies that stood out to me. The first one is Berkshire Hathaway. So you have, in my opinion, two of the smartest investors of our time in Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger in a beautiful partnership, especially with Mr. Munger passing away. Rest in peace. But they are two of the top investment minds across all different spectrums of overall investing. They've got real estate assets. Obviously, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services is a very large brokerage that they acquired. This company started in the late 1960s in its kind of current format. And they're a holding company. So they own the majority shares, if not all, of a bunch of companies that you probably know and consume on a daily basis. So whether it's Geico Insurance, whether it's Coca-Cola, whether it's having a massive stock position in Apple, Berkshire Home Services, like we mentioned. These guys have become multi-billionaires because they are winning in business. They are empowering their staff. And again, there's no way that these guys could lead that many organizations. And the other great thing is they are creating so much value. And that value, if I lean back on my experience and time in the fixed income world or more on the Wall Street side of things, it's about creating value, which not only is a company mission for elevation, but the value of Berkshire Hathaway stock when we're filming this episode was over $608,000 for one share. That's the way to create value. Coming up with a championship mindset and enabling and empowering your people, that can translate across the board. Those guys obviously figured out how do you own a much bigger piece of something that is far larger than they could ever do on their own. The second one is I'm a student of history. And so I want to bring you back to really the OGs, if you will, of business success. So we've got Berkshire Hathaway. I want to talk about another great business entity and essentially business partnership, which is Standard Oil. So that is the Rockefeller family and the Flagler family. The thing that I love about this, essentially that it was a partnership, is the championship mindset was developed from an early age in the mid-1800s. So dating back to the 1860s, they essentially created the oil industry, and they partnered up together over the next 50 years to create Standard Oil. That became so successful, it was essentially called a monopoly, and the government forced them to break up. If you translate present day value of what their investments would be, they would be by far some of the richest people in the world, even though their families and generations still are. Again, when you're forced to break up because the government thinks you're too profitable, and then today they've created properties, or today I should say they have created companies such as Mobil, Chevron, Amoco, and Exxon. So those are two people that we need to learn a lot, in my opinion, about building championship organizations and business structures from days gone by. Those guys are the titans of industry, and we can learn a lot from them. Let's kind of talk about the other end of the spectrum, and that is some people that are doing some amazing things today. Not only just because I'm a shareholder, but I admire what Facebook has done as a company. You've got Mark Zuckerberg as the founder, but he could only take the company so far in his own vision and his own years. So over the course of 14 different years, Sheryl Sandberg, who essentially became the CEO, was able to take that company to new heights. She has since obviously stepped down and retired as of 2022. But you have what I love is the great and beautiful visionary role and integrator role, or some people kind of look at it as CEO and COO as a way to help grow your company. They are a really powerful duo, or they were a powerful duo. I also love the difference in perspective of a male versus a female too. I think that's really important. As a person who has my wife as a business partner and two young daughters, it's really important for me to help promote women in business and also women in real estate. Couple quick examples of different partnerships, different companies, and different combinations that led people to success. So I'm sure you're thinking, okay, great. You've gotten me all pumped up because we've talked about the Broncos and we've talked about sports. We've talked about people that are billionaires. How the hell do I use it in today's environment? So let's go into how are we currently structuring Elevation as a team? And I'll talk about our journey and evolution as a company, because I think there's some things that you can learn both on the positive and the negative of how we have created and curated our company today.
So we're going to take a quick break and tell you about the next Elevation Academy. If you're looking to dive deep into real estate investing, this is definitely the event for you. Our Academy features over a 100-step process to help you navigate every single thing from market analysis all the way down to every aspect of project management. So this is tailored for both beginners and seasoned investors. And our one-day intensive training will equip you with the strategies and insights needed to elevate your real estate investing game. Spots are definitely limited, so click on the link below in the show notes to sign up and transform your approach to real estate investing. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
In talking about how Elevation has grown over the last 7 years, I started as an independent and really essentially family-run business. It was myself and my dad. We had gotten out of the stock and bond trading market and gone into real estate full time. It was really where I cut my teeth starting in 2015. Did a lot of great business there, but there's also some positives and negatives about running and owning a family business. Learned a ton there. My dad since essentially retired and my folks moved out of state, so I was doing things on my own. We had another episode with the home buying guys in Dallas, Texas, and they had a great point where it's like, you can only do so much by yourself, or you can only do so much as a two-person team. So we went through the next 2 years with primarily me running every aspect of the business. And then I hired Alex, our first project manager. He helped us run the day-to-day aspect of the fix and flips from a construction side. We evolved to what was our next level of growth. That was great. We went through that for a couple of years, but again, I maxed out on time. I maxed out on brain power of how much I could handle at once. You can only do so much. Our next evolution is we brought on, kept our project manager to help run the day-to-day aspects of the construction for the flips. And then we brought on two different sales executives. Those people helped find properties, they help make sure and keep the deals going, and then they help sell properties on the back end. So obviously the key to any successful real estate business is lead generation. We had two folks that did a great job for us over the next couple of years, and really it helped catapult us to where we are right now. The foundation of what we've got with Elevation as a company in 2024 is really much like a home. We had to build that foundation between two-person family business, solo business, a couple of employees to our current structure right now, which is we have a rock star senior project manager, Travis, who helps us run our flips. He helps us run our client flips, whether we're consulting. He runs partnership flips. He also gets involved to make sure that our wholesale properties are budgeted appropriately to make sure we're cranking out good rehab numbers. Then we have Adam on the sales side, and a sales manager was a big kind of philosophical shift that I made because, again, I'm running out of time. So we were able to go out and find somebody that is very talented in running a team and helping build a team. That enabled us to transition over to moving folks and having real estate licenses at eXp Realty. Now we have a brokerage team of 9 different brokers that report up to our sales manager and just give me so much more bandwidth. And you've heard me talk about it in different episodes of working on the business versus being in the weeds or working in the business all the time. We're really starting to crank to make sure and grow the investment side of the business, still do our flips, add more wholesales to the mix, but then also do traditional listings as well because we have this division. From there, we are really relying on independent third-party professionals and executives rather than having everything in-house. We're just crossed the 7-figure mark as far as revenue, and we're trying to take this thing to new heights. So I have a fractional CFO who helps me run all the finances and the numbers and make sure that we're on track to grow the way that we need to grow. I've got a strategic business coach. You've seen him, Doug. He's been on episodes with us before. So it's helping from a strategy perspective. We've got bookkeeping. We've got a great bookkeeper who helps keep track of day-to-day records. That was probably honestly one of the biggest hires that we made. I know you're thinking, hey, I don't want to spend another couple $100 a month. That is worth every penny as a good bookkeeper. We also have great legal guidance and legal advice. So over time, we might get big enough to where some of these positions become in-house, but it again helps give you that flexibility to ebb and flow based on the trajectory of your business to build that championship team. I want to dive into two more aspects for this episode, and it's all about perpetual self-information and self-learning. I've got a decent educational background. I know tons of people in this business that haven't even attended college and are running phenomenal businesses. I know people that have PhDs. So there's kind of everywhere in between, but something I'm a big proponent of is still reading and still growing and learning. I know my teenagers get pissed off because I'm telling them you still have to read even when you're done with high school or hopefully done with college. You've got to read. And so one of the things that I want to point out is this book right here. It's called Buy Back Your Time, and it's written by a super, super bright guy. His name is Dan Martell. And the thing, tons of chapters in this book, I would highly recommend you go out and read it. But what I want to talk about is two different aspects of this book. I think the biggest one for me is the first one is called the 10-80-10 rule. What that is that enables you as a leader to be involved in the first 10% of a project or maybe a division or aspect of your business, give it guidance, give it framework, give your team enough information to run with it on their own. But then they have to execute on the middle. But the middle is 80%. If you're involved in all these different aspects of the business, you are micromanaging, in my opinion. You're going to run out of time. You're going to be short with your staff and your employees. Get out of the middle, you know, or the 80%. Jump back into the last 10%. So it's the 10-80-10 rule. To me, that is critical. Piggybacking on that is he's got another cool concept in this book, and it's all about the levels of entrepreneurship. It's thinking from a trader mentality, which I really like coming from the bond world. So the first level is essentially being an employee, and that is trading your time for money. Even though you did that as a W-2 employee, many people are like, great, I own my own business. And that's fantastic. But if you're trading your own time for money, one of the other guys that I love is Alex Hormozi. He broke down this great quote and he said, if you got, you know, 150 days off a year, you had steady income, you had vacation and dental, wouldn't this be a great business to own? He's like, yeah, that's a W-2 employee. So don't downplay that from time to time. But many times that first level is trading time for money. Then you jump up to level two, which is being truly classified as an entrepreneur. And that is trading your money to gain back your time, or Dan Martell, buy back your time. I kind of feel like that's where we're at right now. We've got a nice kind of smaller staff. We're trying to add smartly and strategically, but I'm essentially trying to leverage my staff to be even better than I am at their independent roles and essentially buy back my time to focus on growing the business and having other aspects. The way to ascend that is to get to what he calls the empire building stage. And I like this because I think a lot of people hear the word empire and they think of Scrooge McDuck doing backstrokes in all of their coins and swimming in their money and being at the top of the Empire State Building, or maybe that's the John D. Rockefeller kind of analogy. But to me, the cool thing about the empire building phase is it is essentially trading your money for other money. It's all about leverage. It's about investing in systems for your business. It's about investing in employees for your business. It's about being, in my world, an LP or a limited partner investing in other people's real estate deals. So if there's somebody out there that's just a badass operator and running self-storage effectively or multifamily effectively or senior living, I want them to run that and then I'll earn a return on my money. So to me, it's all about leveraging your money for other money. So that's a huge takeaway when it comes to Dan Martell. The great thing about all these resources, we will absolutely have links in the show notes. Definitely use those links, buy these books, jump into these programs, and just grab this education and put it to as most effective use as possible as you can. Let's talk about this book, Traction by Gino Wickman. The cool thing about this is obviously nerd alert. I've read this book 4 times. I've done it 3 times in person. I still am old school and like to write notes in it. And I've done it once on Audible. But I love this because it's a way to help run your business, and it's called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. And it really helps people run, in my opinion, up to about a 50-person organization, up to about a $20 million worth of revenue before you might need a little bit of a different operating system. But what I love about this is it goes back to that first example of Facebook earlier in the episode, of the CEO or the visionary trying to set the vision and the course for the business. And then you've got the COO, or in this book, he refers to it as an integrator. And that's a person that helps execute on your plans. A lot of times people that have big visions that are very creative, they think of all these great ideas, but they suck at implementing them. I'm really trying to be that hybrid where I can do both, but I am personally looking for that integrator. It's a role that we're trying to fill here at the company very soon because I need somebody to help me execute my plan and execute the vision. Definitely the visionary and the integrator role are key ways to help run your business. The other thing is it's all about running your goals on a quarterly basis. The other takeaway from Traction is they call them quarterly rocks. And I'm like, well, why don't we just call it a quarterly goal? And they give the analogy in the book, and it's been actually taught at multiple different business strategy seminars, is if you've got, let's actually equate it to our world in real estate investing. You've got your orange Home Depot bucket. I set a bunch of materials to the side and I've got large rocks, I've got small rocks, I've got pebbles, and I've got sand, and I've got water. If I tell you to fill that up and maximize your bucket and you pour in the water first and then the sand and then some other little rocks, those big rocks, which really should be your big goals that you're trying to accomplish, they're not going to fit in the bucket. and they're going to stick out. But if you strategically think, okay, what are my big rocks or what are my big goals? And I do those first every day, every week, and every quarter. I put those in the bucket first. Then I put my small stuff in. Then you dump the sand and the sediment and you can fill up an entire bucket. It seems really silly, but it's a huge difference in the way that you should be thinking about your business. So those are two big takeaways from two books that I love. Think of how do you build your championship team from a staffing perspective and also from a business strategy perspective. As we kind of wrap up on today's episode, I want to really tie this together in a nice bow. And it's all about being akin and really being in tuned with smart people around you. So whether it's consuming the right content, whether it's reading the right books, it's always making sure that you're on the lookout for top talent. That is absolutely critical. Even when I first started our company, it was me and Alex, and we were essentially our project manager renting one room in the office of my business consultant at the time. I wanted to run that company like a Fortune 500 company of two dudes. And so I'm sure he was probably like, why are we sitting in a staff meeting running what they call level 10 or L10 staff meetings with two people? It's because you want to set a course for the future. I also personally think that it helps you legitimize yourself and make it so that you've got employees that want to work with you and want to work for you. I think that's a huge takeaway. The analogy I always give is also be willing to give up some of that ownership or some of that control from time to time. I heard a great analogy from somebody the other day, which is you might want to own 75% of a watermelon versus 100% of a grape. Kind of a simplistic analogy or simplistic way to think about it, but sometimes I'd rather much own maybe a little bit smaller piece of something significantly larger. That's why we're trying to put together these relationships and partnerships with other folks than having our control of every single thing just in our own little hands. Again, get these couple books, Get Traction by Gino Wickman, Get Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Definitely just use this as a way to help build your championship team. I'm really confident that hopefully you'll get a lot out of this episode and take your business to the next level. So again, comment, connect with us, engage with us. I really hope this is an episode that we get a lot of feedback because I'm curious to hear what people think, what you're reading, what you're learning. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Raising the Flipping Bar. If you found value in our insights and stories, let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on social media and be sure to share this episode with friends or colleagues who might benefit. Your feedback and reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you. So please, if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Thanks again to the Elevation Academy for sponsoring today's show. If you're interested in learning more, click the link in the show notes below. And remember, every property tells a story, every deal brings a lesson. Keep reaching for those goals, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening and watching Raising a Flipping Bar. Just a basic overall disclaimer is that A, this is not legal advice. B, this is not tax advice. C, this is not financial advice. I hope you get the gist, but I'm obviously not a lawyer, not a CPA. Hell, I'm not even a real estate agent, actually. But in general, we hope you get a ton of value out of this, but there is a bit of a disclaimer. Please consult a professional if you have any questions whatsoever. Thanks for tuning in.